Where?
Okay, I guess we're going to go ahead and open the meeting. It's 7 after, and September 13th, and this is for the Boulder Planning Commission. We have Tabor and Matt Cochran, Tabor Dahl, Matt Cochran, Colleen Thompson, our zoning administrator, Curtis Overhamsley. And generally, we start with old business, but we don't have enough people right now to go over the minutes from last month. So we'll just go ahead and move on past that. Mainly because we do have a few people here tonight, and we want to get through this agenda. And we're going to start with our new business. And before we open the public hearing, what we're going to do is have Matt just give us a little preface and a background on what we've been doing with the ADU over the last few months and where we're at, and then we will open the public hearing.
Okay, many of you have been in the room for a lot of this. The ADU have been working, which is the long-term schedule.
So I should preface this. We're going to have a public hearing on the draft for the ADU ordinance. I want to put that in the record instead of letting it go.
So this 3-4-page document is the draft for the ADU ordinance, which means the long-term rental ordinance. We're not talking about short-term in the public hearing tonight. We've worked really hard as the Planning Commission and with you guys to sort of craft something, I think, that fits the vision and the general plan in Boulder. Obviously, it's not perfect, but we think we're pretty much down to where we're wanting to turn it over to the Town Council, where, by the way, another public hearing will occur on sort of the final with that. So tonight, we obviously want to hear your comments and concerns. Hopefully, you've gotten a chance to read this or have some idea of what's in it. Because there are enough people, I don't know, I think, you know, keep comments to the point. And that would be great for all of us. That's all I have to say, I think, to start it.
Okay. So the only other thing that I want to preface before we open the public hearing is that we do have the lectern here set up. And when you want to speak, you just raise your hand and go to the lectern and speak, and we'll go from there. So, and like Matt said, you know, it seems like a lot of people want to comment. We want to hear your comments, and that's why we're here. This is the second public meeting that we've had, and we're going to pass it on to the Town Council, and there'll be another public hearing before, you know, we move much farther on this. So I guess I'll make a motion to close the public meeting. And do we need to have a vote? Close? Okay, so.
I second the motion to close the working meeting and open the public hearing.
Tabor?
Yep.
Okay. So then I will make a motion to open the public hearing on the draft of the ADU ordinance.
I'll second that, opening the public hearing on the draft of the public of the ADU ordinance. All in favor?
Yeah. Okay, so Peg, if you will state your name and then go to the lectern. I was kind of looking at you like Peg. So, anyway.
Thank you.
I guess I just have a few questions about the ordinance. And I've lived in Boulder for over 20 years, and I've been playing around with how I can manage to stay here. And I have to have some other income as I slow down unless I can keep working till I go. So I've had a lot of different kind of combos, one of which is to be able to rent my studio out as a Airbnb, which isn't, you know, I think it's just too convoluted. It's two together, the short term and the long term, and I it's hard to separate because I don't have the money right now to make a kitchen. I'd like to be able to rent it with a refrigerator and a hot plate. sometime. This is all conjecture, but it's the right for me to be able to rent my studio out. I just wonder about that. The other thing, I think the conditional use for 1 year is kind of crazy. If you're going to set up a long-term rental with somebody, to have it be 1 year, just to me doesn't make sense at all. But the major thing is, it's the ADU, and this, I only have 2 pages of it because it was not on the web today. You could not find the whole thing. The ADU may not be used as a vacation home rental or any form of transit lodging, and the minimum rental is 30 days unless said use is authorized by subsequent ordinance. And it has to go hand in hand. Because how can I support this when I want to do a short-term rental unless I know what the subsequent ordinance is? I mean, it has to be together to me to make any sense for anybody to commit to anything, be it building an ADU because they want to rent it out or whatever. We have to know what that subsequent ordinance is to proceed. Because I'm going to need to have short-term rentals to live in Boulder. There's no way I'm going to support myself by painting when I'm 85, if I live that long. So I need, you know, and but that thing is like, it needs to be together. We need to back something that's fully short-term and long-term together to be able to support this, which I don't object to this, but I don't know what the short-term rental stuff is, and I can't really support this. It's the two are intertwined so much that I just feel that needs to be addressed for this all to work. And the 1 year conditional use permit also makes no sense to me. Why would it be a year? Especially if you're being good and you're long-term renting to a local who needs a house, why would you have to redo your permit every year? So I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Scotty. Matt, do you want to address the fact that we are talking about that?
Are we supposed to answer questions?
No, this is strictly that.
Okay. So we'll address it.
All right, I'll listen to Thompson.
Yep. Yes, it is.
All right, so this is the question, and I just want to know, so what's the intention of this written ordinance? Is it to help those who have property, have money, have no need for jobs, or have a consistent, really long-term job, or is it for those, and those people, so those people who have don't have to bother about those who don't have, because I don't see this as supporting people that don't have. That's it.
Sorry to clarify, that don't have property.
Don't have property, money, long-term jobs. I mean, we're talking about people who don't have, and that's the majority of the need for use. So I don't see this ordinance supporting that, but I'll let you know why. There's too many rules in it that don't make sense for me. The 1 year conditional use permit also does not make sense, in my opinion, because of conditional use, you have so many conditions in which if you fall on one of those conditions, your permit's pulled anyways. Why do you need a 1 year on that? I can see if it's permitted and it's not a conditional use permit that you could go that route at saying this is good for 1 year permit. Let's review it annually. We're talking about a conditional use permit that's issued, revoked upon breaking those conditions. So there's no need for that in 1 year. ADUs and STRs, short-term rentals, go hand in hand. I completely agree as well. It's foolish, even foolish, to consider them separately and an approval on draft form without seeing the other, without having the public seeing the other. So we know what we're looking at as a whole. So there's three, my hopes are to support a few needs. Basically three needs in town with ADUs. I think they're good things in the community and so are short-term rentals. But scenario, small family or couple with not a lot of funds wants to build or buy an existing house and can only do that by having a short-term rental with their mortgage. And how is it being paid a mortgage here? It's not going to happen. Land's too high. Think of supportive ways for those who don't have, once again. Boulder has a resort town classification, this is number 2, which the town continually supports. Example, the additional Boulder Mountain Lodge. That was a complete variance and is subject to keeping beds for rent in the right proportions to resident beds. How can we do that without short-term rentals? How can we support that transient tax and that resort town classification we have
without short-term rentals. We can't, unless we bring in super eight or another motel. Okay, so that's super important. The opportunities for current businesses to thrive if tourism spends the night. Okay, that's obvious, instead of drive-through. Most of our traffic, it seems like we're super busy, is drive-through traffic. We are not that busy. We're actually down from last year and the year before. People stay in town longer, they spend more money, and an opportunity for local employment with cleaning and managing short-term rentals and income use. I'm using them together because I have it together. Something I did see missing was adding a deed restriction to the additional, to that ordinance, that deed restriction on the ADU, so it can't be sold out independently from that property, which can happen in the future as well. People do that in other towns, that's the main complaint. So deed restriction,
So someone could sell?
Clarification A. Restriction, so no one can sell off that additional accessory dwelling unit in the future as a separate resident. I mean, people do that. Okay, so other towns have successfully done this. Tourism culture is better than family reunion, shared family guest house culture, in my opinion. Okay, you get random. I have experienced this, people coming down and 50, 60 people, shooting guns, playing games, having fun on life. You don't get that with a controlled environment, conditional use permit, of short-term rentals, ADUs. So there's really no scare for neighborhood kind of thing with ADUs being short-term rentals.
Can you speak up just a little bit?
Sure, I just have a gun up. There's no hurry to do this. Slow down. Let's not do this right now. And you can also, I didn't see addressed in there, something like called a junior ADU in Calabasas. Well, actually, even in, do you guys know where Calabasas is?
Yep.
Okay, God, what?
A junior ADU,
meaning what are you going to do for if it's inside someone's house? Like Scotty's scenario, what if it's inside the house and it's a room? And someone wants to rent that room as a long-term rental with accessory dwelling unit. Are you calling that house a duplex now? Are you calling it an accessory dwelling unit that's not defined within this ordinance? Because it's not. Or an apartment that's within a house. That's also not defined within this ordinance. You're simply talking about detached or attached, which isn't included. So that kind of needs to be defined in there. Okay, to that, it needs to have an occupancy permit, in my opinion, only. Number four, line item four, ADUs meet all applicable health, fire, and building codes. I would add, must have an occupancy permit in Maryville County. I mean, how simple is that? I can say someone read it. All right, so on number eight, it says, an ADU may be used as a guest house, family quarters, or health of assisted living. And that's a determination of whether it's an ADU or not, and will be required to have a conditional use permit or not. So what is the help with assisted living? And if they are being paid to help someone with assisted living, then do they now need that conditional use permit?
Oops.
So that help with assisted living is really ambiguous in language. What is that? What does that mean? And I agree with number nine. It is authorized by subsequent ordinance. I heard Scotty on that it needs to be addressed together. And or just mix that completely, number nine. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I guess the main thing I want to say is thank you guys for trying to work on this. I think as a community, the Planning Commission is a positive thing, and I think you've gone beyond that and doing all the workshops that you've done. I was actually involved in the housing issue, which ADU came up, and we have lots of them already, so we do need to address them. I do think, I agree a lot with Scotty and what Lisa said, and just clarification, It's a hard thing to do, but I kind of went back to look at what we already have with the bed and breakfast thing, which is also a similar thing to an ADU or a short-term rental. And I think that it should be, reviewed as far as what we're asking for the ADU. Bed and breakfast says 5 units. It's allowed in, I believe, in my opinion, allowed in all of the areas as a conditional use. Let's see.
You can sit down and come back up. We'll let you.
Okay. Anyway, I just think that, in reviewing this ADU, and I think it is an issue, certainly with, looking at what we are regulating ourselves. It's a community effort. And obviously, there's, what one person does with this property can have an impact. I think we can kind of all agree with that. What fear factor we have and that impact is very broad, I'm sure, with all of us. But I do agree that an ADU is a positive thing in this community.
Thank you.
Okay. You don't have to state your name again.
Tina Carl.
No, I said you didn't.
The only other thing is, I don't know that I've had some conversations, and it became clear that maybe thinking of an ADU as a possible way to deal with our housing problem might not be the total solution. Might be possibly part of it, but again, maybe not a total solution. And maybe we should possibly look at housing that's more community supported on a government level. And I don't know how that.
I was going to say, could you go on a little bit farther?
Well, I think there is a lot of support on the government level for communities to deal with housing problems. I think it's a big picture thing. It's maybe we're not there yet, but I think it's there in a lot of communities, and because of the fact that property is so high, and there are ways of possibly looking at housing other than ADUs.
I also forgot, but can I just say this? Don't
just send your name, so it'll be on the tape.
Alisa Thompson. I just have all these papers, and I didn't read two things. I don't agree that it needs to be owner-occupied. And if I can explain that if you wish me to.
Please.
Okay. For example, there are people in this town who can build homes and can build an accessory dwelling on the home with the hopes of short-term rental and paying for that home. So we have a long-term rental and a short-term rental on one property. Those are more often an opportunity in this town than you might hear in other towns. But because we're in a unique situation that's requiring the owner to occupy that and not allowing that additional as a short-term rental, it's really difficult. So I don't agree with owner occupancy of a beautiful primary home. I mean, I'm not supporting second homeowners and vacant homes. I want to encourage those long-term rentals.
But you'd be okay with absentee owners, one an ADU and one a short-term rental.
Absolutely.
So two rental properties, no owner.
Absolutely. Okay. They're going to provide a long-term home.
mean, what's wrong with saying you could have the short-term rental, but you're providing a long-term home? Right? Okay, that's my thing. And what is the plan for the current accessory dwelling units that we have in town? That's kind of also what I would like to know. And I support accessory dwelling units in commercial zones, which this ordinance does not. Commercial zone, most of our commercial zones already have dwelling units in them. It'd be really easy to add an accessory dwelling unit because the infrastructure's already there, those property owners already have some money. Why not? So that's also neighborhoods, people don't have to worry about, they already have parking feasibility. And then what happens when worlds change, ownerships change? Let's just give you some examples. Dwelling units on commercial lots in town. If they want to build an ADU, I think they should be able to.
Thank you.
You can wait till you get up here to say your name.
Troy Julian.
It's not for me, it's for the tape. Posterity knows who said it.
First of all, I would also like to thank you all for this work that we do. And I think that it's worth taking a moment to appreciate the fact that I can stand here and say something without, being run out of town.
The meeting's not over yet.
For appreciation for freedom of speech, which I'm a big proponent of. I think a lot of what I was already going to say has been said in some specifics, and so I'm going to keep this relatively short. I agree on bottom line. I'd like to know who owns my property. I was under the impression that I do, unless it impinges on somebody else's well-being. And if that is the bottom line, then a lot of this seems like an overreach to me. And that it's very troubling because it sets a precedent of rights being infringed upon. Whereas the argument about whether or not ADUs and specifically the short term, which I also don't think can really be separated here, especially since there's a note in that number 9 limiting or setting a minimum length.
Setting a minimum length.
Yeah.
Rights being infringed upon.
You were yes.
Keep it short.
And
so,
all of the concerns that I have heard, and I'm more than willing to hear more, I think could be taken care of by the condition of use permit itself and not having the limit on what you can actually do with that ADU. And so I would encourage a movement in that direction as far as the property owner having responsibility for the renters, no matter how long they're going to be there, not infringing upon neighbors' well-being or comfort level or safety. That being said, I do happen to agree with the owner occupancy thing, simply because there is a very real danger of people coming in and buying massive properties and, following every law to the letter, but, overtaking the town with, setting up everything for Airbnbs. And so I think that that's worth considering as far as the owner occupied. And maybe there's a different solution. I don't know. I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Troy.
Can I make a couple of comments here, which may or may not
people and what they're trying to sort through here. The reason that the ADU ordinance stands alone is because when you're talking about an ADU, you're talking basically about a guest house or a separate part of a house with a separate entrance. So it's an accessory dwelling unit, and it's in a single family zone. So in essence, what you're doing is you're allowing something in a single family zone that is not currently allowed. Because otherwise it would be like a, what they call an R2 for a duplex or whatever. So you're making an exception to provide housing for basically employees or people who want to move here or whatever. So you're providing additional housing. That's the whole point behind the ADUs. The transient rental thing has to, it's apples and it's oranges. And it has to be addressed separately because the ADU, by definition, is a separate dwelling entirely. But the short-term residential rental thing could be a room in Scotty's house. Now, you can have a roommate, you can have two roommates, you can have all the roommates you want. Okay, and that's... okay, theoretically. Okay, so there's nothing to stop you there. On the short-term rental thing, you can do an Airbnb and you can rent out a bedroom. Or you could rent out the studio.
But then why not just get rid of 9 for the time being, which then you deal with short-term rentals, but you don't have the scary restriction of the minimum 30 days on this document. And then it opens it up for other discussion.
Well, all it's really saying is under this ordinance, if you build a totally separate unit, then you'll rent it out for 30 days or longer to provide this housing. Then they come back and they're having a discussion, which you're all going to participate in, and decide, okay, now what can we do? What if you want to rent your house at work? Let's put the studio aside.
Okay.
What if you want to rent your house out while you're on vacation?
Why not
get that in? I mean, that's the discussion you will have, but we can't build that into the ADU ordinance. So it just simply gets too complicated. So we can follow, and there's case law and everything that it just gets too complicated. So the other reason for the ADU is we have guest houses in town, or we already have accessory dwelling units. So we're just trying to, you know, what I was asked to do initially, bringing this before by more than one person, but including the mayor, was let's kind of clean that up. And so let's legitimize the guest houses, but then if you want to rent that guest house, well then you just come in for our conditional use permit, and you say, I decided those guests are best to be able to make money or provide a rental unit. So all it's really saying is, okay, you've got to have a bathroom, a kitchen, it specifies that. And then the conditional use permit is to say, well, who's doing it? Because I'm hearing everybody saying, we don't want investors coming in buying a bunch of houses and then building accessory dwelling units. Uh-huh. We want the owner to do that. Well, how do we know whether that's their primary residence or not? So they can come in with a central permit just for the rental, not for the guest house. If it's just for their guests, then, you know, invite your kids down and come stay. But if it's to be rented, then they come before and they show that, number one, it's owner-occupied, number two, it has these facilities, it has a certificate of occupancy, it needs IBC, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's just a sorting out device. Now later, if they say, well, we don't want them coming back every year, that's a pain, then you can say, okay, we're going to pass a motion that will delegate it out to one of our numbers, and we will only bring it before the entire planning commission if we have a complaint that's being rendered to people that are not controlled and is disturbing the neighborhood. I'm sorry, Jim, go ahead.
So what is the difference between if they want to come in and somebody wants to rent them for 5 months and they come in, stay a week, and then leave and turn around the conditional use permit, you have to come back in, redo it, because it's no longer there, or what?
Why? There's nothing to do.
So the point is, why should the town be able to consider how I want to make my income on an ADU. If it's going to be short term, if it's going to be long term, if I don't want to rent it to anybody, period. I mean, why is that any of the town's business as long as it's not infringing on anybody else's stuff? I mean, if we wanted to make an extra $200 a night on a cabin we have on our property, why should we have to get a conditional easement? Why couldn't we just buy a building, or not build a business license and be an actual little business and go that way? I mean, why would it have to be just, you have to do this?
Are you talking about short-term?
Short-term, long-term, it doesn't matter, short-term, long-term, or whatever.
Jimmy, can I speak to that? And then we need to get our public hearing back on track. Because this back and forth is...
So I wanted him to be able to give you a little bit more background, so go ahead and go to the podium and...
That's all. I'll answer what you were saying.
Okay.
So you don't have, that isn't an ADU. What you're talking about, okay? That is, like, you can do that as a different rental, like as a short-term rental. What we're talking about is ADUs.
Yeah.
And so what you're describing is like a bed and breakfast, which we have. And we talked about how we'll address those. Or whatever the person, that's all it says, what are the person...
So you're not, what you want to do is not an ADU.
Yeah.
We're talking about ADUs, so you will be able to do what you want to do, but it's not under an ADU. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. I think that might clarify for you, for a lot of...
Okay, so Randy, go ahead and come on up, because we want to hear everything, so come on up and... thank you, Randy.
What you're talking about isn't an ADU, okay?
Yeah.
No, you're not granting that. When you talk about accessory dwelling units only, something that is to be built, secondary building, on your primary residence, correct?
Mm-hmm.
On there. So, all right now, so my side on there, for example, if you want to have a couple lots in town, you want to come in and build houses on that, are you saying that as part of these there, they could build, that you guys are short-term rentals on there, and you can't move until he moves here? Is that the question, you know, on there? Is that, that's not part of this ordinance, what you're looking at? So you're strictly just trying to enforce the zoning, the ordinance where you're basically allowing accessory building and controlling that on somebody's property is what you're trying to do. And the intent is for housing for employees. So what is the intent of the ordinance overall?
I think to allow for housing, like where, what our intent was that long-term housing, because it's just been interesting to listen to the comments here tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people will say, well, everybody's going to rent their stuff out as an Airbnb, and then there's nowhere for workers to live. So this is intended to give housing for people who live here and work and want to be here year-round.
Well, I think, you know...
But there's also another definition. I don't think
you can actually try to separate this from housing for somebody else and somebody wants to do it, yes. And there's, so let's say, people, employees come in here, and they stay there for 3-4 months, they're out of there, and so no employees, and then all of a sudden you see somebody else wants to come in and rent your place on there.
Well, we'll speak to your comment, but let's keep the public hearing going.
Yeah, thank you, Randy.
We'll speak to that after the public hearing. Okay.
Thank you.
We don't want to just have a back and forth, so we'll speak to everything you're saying, but go ahead and comment.
Okay, so it's actually 7:04. Okay, Mark.
Hey. Mark Nelson. Wow. This is mine. I just thought it couldn't get any more confusing. I think this whole issue got sideways and confused. Let me address Scott's concern about the conditional use permit and at least about the year conditional use permit. That's just something that you need to review about every year. You know, it's not, it doesn't mean you have to have it rented for a year.
No.
You know, but then you just have the permit and then you can rent it.
It
we're not supposed to be discussing this.
Okay, well, let's talk through that.
Yeah, just, yeah.
I thought I had an idea of what was going on until I came and listened to all the comments. It just seems like everybody got quite confused. But I think you guys have done a fairly good job of trying to differentiate this from the short-term rentals. And just, I think just about got as good as you can get for what it is.
Could you say that again?
I said, I think you got it just about as good. You got it just about as good as you can get what it is. You know, when I come to these meetings, I watch you transpire. I'm sure you want to hear that. So back to what you got here. I think it's pretty good. There's a couple of bugaboos. I think, like I told the last time from most spots, the idea of the, which you're kind of, it doesn't look like you're quite named that here, this idea of required parking. I think you've got to have that as a requirement, no matter what you do, no matter if it's a short, long, commercial, all the conditional uses that are allowed, the bed and breakfasts and the cottage industries and all those sort of things are required parking.
And that's as opposed to the waiver that we have?
One of the problems with waivers and exceptions in general is that they're absolutely no good unless they're spelled out in advance, right? You can't come along and say, arbitrarily, okay, it looks like you had a problem there, so we're going to change the rules for you. So anything like a waiver or exception needs to be spelled out in advance. Exactly what that would be. So it would be my recommendation to require the parking, and not think of any kind of waivers like that for exceptions, unless it's a waiver exception or an exception that you can spell out in advance and is in the one of the glaring things we have with all these, one of the things I thought, yeah, that's kind of premature that we should wait until the planning process pans out to before the top of this. I don't think we could get past the town before that happens anyway. But this enforcement issue, I guess told us about this before about trying not to create more problems than we're solving. AU does solve some problems like guest housing, assisted living housing, some potential for housing for people that want to work and this extra income for people that have them. And I think those are valid. And those are the good parts of this. But, if there's any potential for abuse, people are going to do that. It seems to be human nature. Unless we come up with some kind of enforcement apparatus for AUs and Airbnbs and short-term rentals and anything else we do, we've got to do something about this enforcement because it's chaos. Everybody just does what they want. And then we go back and say, we've got to make it legal, make those uses legal. I've watched this happen for years where we rewarded bad behavior and nice behavior. I think it's got to stop. So you need to think about that. Maybe how you can, build that into the ordinance. But I like your little firewall down there in your mind. Some people will seem to like about separating it from short-term from ADUs. I think that's necessary, And I can see this from my group's mind that we're going to run into quite a process when we get into this short-term rental area because I guess it's because of economic factors, but we've got to really review our philosophy about what kind of town we're going to have. Obviously, because we used to, it seems like that we used to want to have a town maintain rural values and this wasn't hungry for the tourist dollar. I realize it's hard to make a living here, but are we going to give up our lifestyle just for that? Really? So philosophy, I think we really got to talk about philosophy, but I guess I should give it up. There's a few other things that I had dinner on to talk about, but is that enough? So anyway,
thank you, Mark.
If you're on the right track, thank you, Mark. Don't be too crazy. Thank you.
working on that, though. I'm trying to get that solved. my whole career has been in community. I was a charter AICP member, so, which only tells you how darn old I am. But first of all, I think there's been some really good public comments here. I've been to hearings in other communities discussing the very same issues, and this one's remarkably civilized. I've been to these things that have lasted until 2 in the morning and, you know, had to have security people. Auxiliary dwelling units, or accessory dwelling units, really, the Trump party, first emerged as, they were called granny units. It was, you know, so elderly parents could be housed with their kids in a separate unit and sort of remain somewhat independent. And then it started to evolve toward being a source of affordable housing. And I think the tourism destination areas were the first places to do that. And I think that it is important to keep the accessory dwelling unit permitting separate from the Airbnb type of thing. And the reason is that the type of regulation we need to have with these transient units is quite different than the accessory dwelling units. The accessory dwelling units provide an opportunity to resolve one of Boulder's significant issues in having housing that's affordable. It's not the only solution, and there are other ones that are being worked on right now. I'm on the board with Community Rebuilds. Emily Niehaus, who's the executive director of that, has spoken here. We are in the process of trying to find ways of acquiring the land to actually build affordable housing and that people would own. And having managed the USDA Rural Development Housing in Utah during the Obama administration, I know how that works, and I think Boulder's underserved in that. The Airbnb type of thing has a whole set of unique issues, and if you don't separate them from the auxiliary accessory units, your accessory units become Airbnbs, and you start having the higher profit Airbnb type of thing competing with your ability to house local workers and have the affordable housing. You probably want to do both, but they are separate issues, and I think the work to keep them separate is a good idea. What I've heard so far, I did not come to this prepared. I got into Boulder right at 7 o'clock tonight, and I was enjoying some of the fires on the way down. But anyway, I think you're headed in the right direction, and I applaud the way in which you're doing this. There's still issues, but you all recognize that. So good work. Thanks.
Thank you.
I move to close the public hearing.
Does anybody else want to speak before we close the public hearing?
Is it possible to just ask for some clarification?
I don't know. I mean,
you can in your discussion.
We can in our discussion. You can
ask your questions.
Yeah.
We
don't necessarily
we'll
have to
speak to it after the public hearing.
So what is the difference between asking a question and just making a comment?
You can either, whatever you
want.
We're just not going
to
answer.
After we close the meeting, because we're trying to have it organized. So yeah. Go ahead, fire away.
Okay, my name is Donna Owen. I went to look for the notes on the website, could not find it. so I am not prepared with understanding what you wrote. I'm sorry. I heard you say something, Curtis, about how I understand you're trying to separate ADUs from the short-term rentals. Not quite sure how that's going to happen. It sounded like you were saying, oh, Airbnbs are fine. We don't have accessory dwelling units yet, but you can go ahead and rent a room. So I'm confused by that. That's not possible yet, but that's just something different. Or,
yeah.
And are we, so ADUs would stay as a residential, right? That would be what your concern was. You mentioned part of it here from Lisa was the, it's my fault, part of here. That the commercial, that it, you know, we're allowing what we already have as a residential house to have a second dwelling. Normally one per five, now we're allowing two per five. Is that what basically what you're allowing? Mm-hmm. Yeah? How does that?
Do you want to read this?
What about you?
I mean,
let me finish your comments.
Yeah.
Well, it was just, you know, I don't have a lot of comments about this because I haven't had a chance to read it, so I guess I'll read it now.
Okay, so does anyone else have any comments? So I move that we close the public hearing.
I second that we close the public hearing.
I don't have to vote again. I already said that one.
Okay, all right, true. Okay, so Tabor. And then, so now we will open our regular meeting and we will have a short discussion on what we just talked about.
Okay, so I second that we open the public meeting, the regular meeting.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I want to know if either of you have a comment at this point. If you...
I'd like to speak to some of the concerns.
Okay, that's what I... Okay.
So our idea with this wasn't to tie up every housing issue in Boulder. Like to, and I understand the concern, and I think it's definitely worth considering doing all of these things at once. To talk about short-term, like basically nightly rentals, to talk about bed and breakfast, all of those options, because then you can look at, well, in ADU you have this, bed and breakfast you have that, and so I can see that point, but just in the interest of getting some things finished, we started working on this, and it is to allow for permanent quarters for people to live in, and something that would not be competition with, say, an Airbnb. Right now, there are no ordinances in Boulder for Airbnb, for or against. There are some that are going on around here, and Boulder doesn't have an ordinance for that. And so when we're talking about creating an accessory dwelling unit, it is an accessory dwelling unit. Not, well, what about an Airbnb if I want to rent it by the night? It's just talking about this. Like, if you're going to rent it to somebody, then you need to provide these things as a way to provide them with a decent place to live. So you're not just kind of taking advantage of a renter, so to say. I hope that clears some of that up again. So if you, we have ordinances in Boulder for employee housing. We have those on the books. This is not changing that. And there, people have guest houses where, like it's been talked about, a mother-in-law home where you're not necessarily charging the mother-in-law, where people come and stay. This is not that. This is just an accessory dwelling unit. Now, it's not necessarily going to be the best fit for everybody. Like you may want to have an Airbnb on your property, and so then you wait for that ordinance, or you just go ahead and do it, or whatever. This isn't for everybody. And maybe you don't want to have to clean that after a person comes and stays for one night. So you would prefer to rent somebody long term, so you don't have to clean every night. That example makes sense. So the some of the other things we didn't. The reason we talked about the owner living there is because this isn't the Airbnb. That's why the owner is on site to take care of that. That's how that came into this ordinance. As far as the hurry to do this, I think that I'm trying to slow down. It's just the pendulum seems to swing one way and then the other. Like, hurry, get this done. Now, we need housing in Boulder. And then it's also interesting with that same pendulum, like, people will be concerned about everything's too loose in Boulder. You can do whatever you want. And then, well, this is too restrictive. We don't want that. I acknowledge that, you know, the answer is probably somewhere in the middle. But this is, we would rather have it spelled out so that it doesn't turn into a wreck down the road. We wish we could tighten that up. And where you're always going to have enforcement issues. I mean, we all recognize that. But I think this is an effort to get something on the books that closes some loopholes and it makes it clear, hoping that people will do the right thing. And, you know, hopefully we don't have to, you know, get a big stick and enforce it.
And I want to just add, with enforcement issues, that's really a conversation for the town council. We're just making ordinances.
And I have a lot more notes, but I'll shut up for a little bit.
Go ahead.
Matt, did you have any, was there anything in particular?
I don't have anything to add right now, just to say that I appreciate everyone's comments. That's a lot to digest. I think they're good comments. I think that I can feel the confusion between things. I mean, because I'm feeling some myself when I'm sitting here at this table. And, you know, it gives us more to work on. I'm not ready to, you know, at this point, after hearing all this, I think we're going to need another meeting with a full planning commission to sort of sort through this before send it on. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, I kind of feel the same way. I felt like we were a little farther along on this, but I also appreciate all the comments. This is the second public hearing that we have had, and we really want you to know, or the town to know, that we are listening to your comments. That's why we started this last year, as far as having the community committees. We're still moving forward on this. And as soon as we get finished with this discussion right now, if any of you know, we're going right into short-term rental. So I don't think anybody's in a hurry. I think we do feel an urgency to get something, just because things are happening so fast. And so I'm kind of in agreement too. I'm not sure if we'll send this forward tonight. I would like to see Josie and Perry be here. And I appreciate all of the comments that you made tonight too. So go ahead, Curtis.
Maybe this will help bring a little clarity to the ADU thing. Let's say that, you know, you had a lot, and on that lot you had your home, your primary residence. Right now, this ordinance, okay, I'm the zoning administrator, and let's say you want to build this second unit. Right now, the ordinance that the town adopted 10 years ago, that Bruce Parker drafted, only complies with state law, says you can have a primary dwelling and you can have an accessory building, not a dwelling, a building, which is like a garage or a shop. And it does not allow for any dwelling. You can't have kitchen stuff. So you come in and you say, I want to help solve this problem, and I want to build a little rental over here, and I get to rent it out. And I say, I'm charged with following the ordinance. You know, it's not my choice, not my discretion. I think it's a great idea, but, you know, I can't sign off on the building permit because the ordinance doesn't allow me to. So, when I was approached by the mayor and others, It was to solve that problem. That problem and the problem of employee housing, et cetera, et cetera. But right now, the way this ordinance is framed, that is what it is. You can't even build a guest house. Let's say you have a parent that's aging and you want to build a small guest house for that parent not rent it out. Right now, you can't do it. All you can do is, make it an accessory dwelling in it. It could just be a building. It's basically a garage. And it can only be 1,000 square feet. So, to clear some of that up and give more latitude on large lots in Boulder, we're not like 4-acre lots here, I've been approached more than once to say, what are we going to do about this? And this is the answer for a lot of people. Because, once again, this is in a single-family zone. It's not in multiple-family zone. It's in a single-family zone. So, this thing is trying to correct that. And I would urge, it's been talked. I would urge you to take a vote and see if you want to at least send it up to the town council. They got to have another public meeting. I have no idea, Harry. I have no idea what they're going to do with it. But it really kind of comes down to that. You either want to see that problem corrected so people can build the rental, or they can build a guest house, or I think we've got an ordinance that presents a problem.
Again, I don't feel comfortable. I went with that. I'd rather have Perry and Josie here to figure out a few of these details and clarify that. That's where I'm at.
Or to leave it as it is, because we have had a lot of discussion. I'm ready. I mean, I personally would like to have just to have them here so that we are all together. And then we've gone through this. It'll give us a chance to talk to it a little bit, right? And then go ahead and send it forward, because then you'll also have a chance to have a public hearing at that point again.
I didn't need to say yes, sir, tonight. We're trying to solve the problem.
Right.
And
right.
We either want to solve it or we should just forget it.
Yeah. So with that in mind, so what we're going to do is just go ahead and move on to the discussion on what Perry has started with, which are whereas clauses. That's where we're starting on these ordinances that we're changing, just to give some definition and some clarity for short-term residential rentals. And that's what we're also trying to clarify, that and what these will be, short-term residential rentals. Okay, so
otherwise known as Airbnbs.
Otherwise known as Airbnb.
We're using this new terminology, short-term residential rental.
Yeah.
Airbnb is a company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like Phoenix, right?
Yeah. Okay, so we each should have the whereas that Perry sent. Is that... Oh, I just have that. Oh, okay. So then let me do that. So, thank you. I need my glasses. So, should I go ahead and read it? Okay, so I'm going to... this is actually from Perry. It says, I had said that I put together initial whereas clauses for residential short-term rental ordinances, which he has put down on below. Whereas, Boulder would like to allow residential short-term rentals within the town. Whereas, we would like to allow residential short-term rentals while preserving the quiet frontier agricultural character of the town. Whereas, we believe the residents of Boulder should be able to benefit from the rental income and income from additional jobs that come from RSTRs. Whereas, RSTR should be restricted to the non-commercial zones within the town, whereas RSTR should be managed in a way to mitigate negative impacts to local short-term commercial rentals and other local businesses. Whereas Boulder recognizes we have a need for low-cost, long-term residential rentals, and that the residential short-term rentals should be allowed in a way that mitigates any negative impact to those rentals. Whereas the town government intends to monitor and report on the impact of RSTRs and adjust this ordinance as needed. Whereas we intend to restrict RSTRs to Boulder residents to avoid problems with absentee landlords. So that's what we have to start with. And I can see this is...
So for me, this is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
I mean, this is just general context, and that was Perry's idea behind it. It certainly isn't the nuts and bolts, but it's framing sort of what we don't want or what we do want, trying to reflect what people in town need. I'm pretty good with it, except I think that 7 and 8 might need to be adjusted. I'm not sure how yet. The last two. But I think it's a good start. I don't have no idea how we'll get to the nuts and bolts of it, but we will.
I think every single one of these points needs a lot of discussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, should we just go ahead right now and have a public hearing?
No, at all.
I know, I'm not saying right tonight, but I mean, should we, before, so this is just the opening statement. So for the next meeting, since we have this as an opening, or do we want to talk about it again?
I think we, as a planning commission, need to have a lot of discussion about this individual.
Yeah.
Okay, so. So then do you want to talk about it tonight, or would you rather talk about it when we have a full panel?
Let's wait for the panel.
Okay, so this is what we're starting with then. This is, and you have a copy of this. So this is what we start with. And then when we have a full panel next month, then we'll delve into it a little farther, since we'll all be able to have a month to take a look at this.
And one little thing to bear in mind is you wouldn't have a public hearing until you have an ordinance to publish.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
You're fine.
Sorry. Yeah.
There's a lot to keep straight.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So then we want to go ahead and finish. And that's where we're going to be starting. This is just the tip of the iceberg right now for going into short-term residential rentals. And we are trying to pull these together. It's been really hard because, there's a lot in here. And so we appreciate all the comments that we've had tonight. So we'll go ahead and close that discussion, and we're going to...
Okay. Can you post these information on the website?
Yes.
This is seven.
And so I was hearing that people had a hard time pulling up the ADU ordinance on the... So we'll...
Can I explain on that?
Yeah, so...
If you went to the... where you see the notification of the meeting and you display that page and it says, you know, what the agenda was, and it wasn't really evident, if you moused over where it said draft ADU, there was a link to the ADU paper.
Oh, really?
But it's not a different color. You have to mouse over it. It's not like a blue or a red thing. So, and I can't control that. I'm sorry. That's something that is not within my administrative capabilities of changing the color. Anyway.
It was hidden in plain sight.
It was hidden in plain sight. But recognizing that that was a problem tonight, I will try to do a separate kind of a link.
You can add text, say, hover over and get it.
Yeah, or exactly.
On your text, words just say, not just add the site, but which links to go to specifically, and then people like me, when it's simply given to me like that, I could probably find it.
I mean, what I'm trying to say is it will be on the website.
Okay.
So
those that's where I'm here's a copy, but this one is a month old, and they changed from primary and secondary, struck secondary, so only those with a primary residence qualify.
You're talking about the ADU?
I think it's
ADU. The ADU thing is there now. The This warehouse clause business you were just discussing.
Oh, the new one? Yes, okay.
Is not on there at all right now.
Yeah, because we discussed this tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. But anybody who wants to see the ADU.
After the meeting.
Yeah, after the meeting. So we'll go ahead and talk about, Matt wanted to have a discussion on drones.
Well, it's going to be a little report. It's going to take five minutes here.
Just a report then, okay.
It's come to my attention with people coming up to me and some experiences that there's more frequent drone use happening in Boulder, not only with some residents, but also with people passing through, staying at, say, the lodge or whatever. And so people are concerned about it in some ways. So I don't know much about it. I did some talking and with some help from Curtis and some research. You know, it comes down to a couple things. First, it's a moot point for the Planning Commission and the Town Council at this point, because drones are regulated by the FAA. So it's a federal gig. Although there is a Utah state law that states that drones can't be flown over private property without permission. So if there's an issue, and the two things with drones, the two arguments are, you know, people don't like surveillance and obviously have, you know, concerns about them, and the other is that drones actually have quite a benefit and so on to town. And but it's, and you can report their use, but it's not something that we're even legally allowed to address through the Town Council or the Planning Commission. So I guess that's really all I have to say. I thought, you know, maybe it's something that could be a discussion here, but it's out of our hands at this point to do much about it. So
I think it's good to know what the
law. Yeah, is. And so really, you know, if you do have an issue and a concern, it's about you know, getting hold of the FAA and reporting such a thing, and where action can actually be taken.
Okay.
Done.
So the other thing that we were going to talk about is we, as the Planning Commission, and I think the Town Council, and I'm not sure who else who will be coming, Curtis probably, we will be having a planning workshop with, what's his name?
Lee Nellis.
And it'll be a two-day workshop that we're going to have. Tabor, you'll be gone.
One day.
It's just October 10th.
Oh, it's just October 10th? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do right now, too, is we are having someone come in and helping us with a planning workshop, because all of these discussions started last year because, as a town, we are supposed to update the plan, the general plan, approximately every 5 years, 2 to 5 years. And that's why we started having these discussions as far as going into the general plan, looking at it, are there issues that we need to take care of and bring up to date? So we picked four subjects, basically, and this is where our ADUs came up, the Airbnb concerns, and that's why we're moving forward. None of us are in a hurry, but we know that we have these issues right now that we have to talk about. And we can only do it in these short meetings. And we talk about it, and then we try to get you to talk about it. And so there will be a... Peg, is it open to the public?
Yes.
Okay, so there will be a notice posted. It will be October 10th from 8:30 to 2:30. It is a planning workshop. We invite any of you to come if you can. Give us your input as far as this man is actually going to help us continue to take all this information and help us use that information for the general plan. And that's what this all stems from. Right, Tabor, do you have anything to say about that?
Sounds good.
Because you've been here through the last year as far as, even though you're leaving, what we were trying to accomplish. Curtis, do you have anything to say?
No, the guy that's conducting at Lee Nellis, Dave Kodak, lined him up, and he's had a lifetime, 40 years worth of experience. He's developed a system that he feels, and I'm not familiar with it, but that he feels can assimilate your input, and you kind of thought, you know, this worksheet, and he does a kind of a thing where what he hopes to come out with is Well, here's something you all agree upon. Number one, here's the thing that's most agreed upon about the character of Bowler, what you want to see in the future. Here's your number two priority, number three, number four, so that you go, well, okay, that's what we all kind of said. That was, and so that's kind of the whole point of it. But beyond that, I don't know.
Okay. So we need, what about upcoming business for next month? Let's go ahead and put the ADU. We'll talk.
Yeah, let's do it. Discuss the public hearing comments and
go from on there. ADU.
Yeah.
And then we might as well go ahead and put the SSR, the short-term residential, right below it. We'll go ahead and put that right below it.
Did you want to start on, do you want to, never mind.
Yeah, okay. Curtis, what do you think? Is that enough? Do you think that we, because we're...
So you're basically, if I'm understanding correctly, you're saying you're going to schedule an agenda item in our meeting,
next month.
In the ADU.
Yep.
And you're going to then come to some conclusion, either do something, don't do something, change something, whatever. And you've had your public hearings.
Right.
And you've had two, okay.
Yeah.
And then you're going to move into a general discussion on the short-term rentals?
Correct.
And advance that further?
Yes.
Are you expecting a draft of some kind of ordinance from some jurisdiction or something to work on? Or you want to just keep it generalized? What are you expecting there?
Well, it seems like we still need to discuss and work over the whereas statements.
Well...
That's a start.
Are you talking about like, providing an example of what
there's... Yeah, just pull something together that's kind of fits a starting
point
of ordinance, but I'm happy.
I mean, it would be helpful to have... but it would be also helpful to have a loose framework, at least so we have some direction to go.
It seems like Tory has Wayne County, they're starting to pull theirs together. So
they have an ordinance that I can bring and circulate early.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And does Garfield County, have they gotten theirs pulled together yet?
No, what they do is they treat it as a conditional use under, Justin told me, under lodging or something. But they just they just throw it into the conditional use. They don't have a specific ordinance for them, but they allow it to get a conditional use from there.
Well, I know that I'm personally going to look up, I think it'd be good if we could just look up some different ordinances, just even within our area.
Send you the one from Wayne County again.
Yeah, okay.
And
please.
I can probably find another couple of examples.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
That really pertain to us and our, like...
Nothing
you've done
pertains
to the I know.
Pretty decent.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. We really want to try to come up with our own ordinances and not use somebody else's or even parts of them, because we do believe that we want to try to do the best we can to frame what we want here. And there's a wide variety. Okay, so do you think that's enough to put on that agenda?
That's plenty of that.
Okay, so go for it. Oh, yes, Taborhead, thank you.
Heard, I'm moving, going to Oklahoma, work on the Sooner Ranch, and I want to thank all of you for all your participation in Boulder's plan. It's been a great, great thing for our family to be here. I appreciate this community and the fact that people do care a lot about the future. It's good to work together on these things. And so I apologize for some of my snarky comments. They haven't ever been intended to be mean, just to kind of lighten the mood. So hopefully I haven't been anything to hear beyond it either. Thank you.
Thanks. Very
thank you. And I hate to break with tradition, so I'm going to be a
adjourned. Okay.
I second that.
And I... Thank you all for your comments.
I thought at the end of the meetings you were doing public comment on general things, not just the public hearing, or were you not?
We have to, go ahead and put that in the agenda.
That's kind of what I meant by commentary, but that's it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So there was nothing other than that public hearing to say anything?
Well, okay.
Well,
it didn't happen, so.
Do you?
It'd be nice if it was consistent, because that's what it was.
We should put that on the agenda.
It is, I thought.
Oh, it is?
I meant that by commentary.
It is on your agenda, but.
Where does it say that?
Commentary.
Number three.
That bullet.
But you did.
I'm okay.
But we did. I thought we did. So are you talking about?
Not during the public hearing, just the public comment at the end of the year, regular work meeting.
That's what she's talking about.
Yeah, it does. That last item on your bullet?
Yeah, upcoming business for
commentary.
And commentary.
That's, but it was very, it didn't say public comment.
Very sorry. I'm very sorry.
I am too.
You know, we will take any information from any of you at any time. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I was being oblique.
Yeah, so let's, can we just...